Eyes to see.
That I have eyes to see.
I have ears to hear.
And my heart is
perceiving.
You're on my case.
And you want to set me free.
And I want to walk in the kingdom.
But the darkness would try to pull me away.
They're doing their job.
But we don't have to obey.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We can declare the truth.
And the truth will set us
free. The truth.
Hallelujah.
I want to take you to Matthew 18 because that's what I heard about maybe 3 minutes ago. Because I wanted what he wanted today. And I asked him during the night and he says, nope, I'm not giving you anything. Rest. Rest. Rest and relax are related. Rest. I heard it 3 times and he says, okay, I give up. Matthew 18. Verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of the house of prayer? Is that what your version says?
No, that's what Pastor's version says.
At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of the house of prayer? And his name is?
Jesus.
Not me, not you, none of us. He, okay? So he called the little child and had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that's a yuck word. Because I want to grow up and I want to know and I want to hear and I want to understand and I want to comprehend. And he's saying, no. He wants you and me to be dependent on him morning, noon, and night. He wants you in communication with him morning, noon, and night. He wants you to talk to him while you're driving. He wants you to talk to him when you're getting ready for bed. He wants you to talk to him in the shower. It doesn't matter where you are. He wants to communicate. We are so busy trying to get an education. Oh boy, did that hit home. Say, I was busy.
I was busy.
Trying to get an education.
I was related to Eve.
Listening to the guy.
Who's advertising the knowledge
of good and evil?
And if I want to be like God,
I need to know.
But the truth is,
if I'm dependent on him,
he'll download the truth
and I'll be victorious.
That's what a child of God does.
That's what a son
does.
And a daughter
of the Most High
does.
They relate
to Holy Spirit
to get direction
instead of trying to educate.
Say ouch.
But you see, what were we trained in? Go to school for this, go to school for that, go to school for this, go to school for that. And even in the religious realm, unless you got a degree, who do you think you are? Well, what degrees are you? See, a thermometer has degrees. Does it make it a child of God? Again, I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Was it any different in that day versus today?
No.
Little children will definitely come to Papa or Mama, and whenever they want a Baba, they're going to let you know. Now you say, well, now isn't that extreme?
Mm-mm.
No. In reality, what is the milk of the word? The milk of the word is to take you where you are as a child. When he downloads something with a word of knowledge and a revelation, that's sonship. That's daughterhood. But sometimes, and even when you're growing up, you're going to have a childish moment. And you just might need a sip of milk. Okay? Because you're hurting. The day you say, I ain't got no pain, I ain't got no hurts, it's a great word of faith. But it may not be the total truth. Your insides are loaded with old patterns. And old, sometimes, areas that are broken. And Holy Spirit wants to just comfort you. He wants to heal you. He wants to reveal some milk to you so that you can get released into a new place of grace and not be so highly educated that you can't receive from him. See, in a highly educated person, they're full of opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Opinions are a dime a dozen.
Amen.
Holy Ghost, however, when he gives you a word, relax. What is he saying? Get off the throne. Amen. Verse 4. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humbling ourselves is definitely something that we need to comprehend. It means that when you feel justified or you feel that you know, notice again, it's a feeling that's coming from the soul. The mind, will, and emotions want to control. That poor little pooch, okay, when he's hurting, if you're a good mama or a good dad, you're going to pay attention. You're going to turn the water on so that somebody will get some water. You know, come on. If you've got an animal, if you've got a child, they're hurting, what is the mama, what is the papa's job? Find a solution. Do it quickly. Verse 5. Whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. Wow. Whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to drown in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. You see, I believe that a lot of the simple things that Jesus was teaching was such an irritation to the educated people of that day. that they could not handle him. He was teaching as a level of humility, servitude, taking care of the children, taking care of the broken, and helping them up, getting them back on their feet, and bringing forth grace and healing to all those that were broken. He wasn't really advertising in that last section that we should cut off our hands. He was giving the principle. Cutting out your eye and throwing it away is not the solution. It is a principle that maybe, just maybe, you can have help to clean this up, whatever area is difficult. So, verse 10, see that you do not look down on one of these little ones. For I tell you that their angel in heaven always sees for grace the face of my Father in heaven. Notice again the angelic assistance. The angel is focused on the face of Papa to get you to the victory. There are seasons that God will try to get you to allow the angels to do their work. And when you ask them to do their work, they will do what you've asked them to do. Now, there's one person here that's going to probably remember this. But I had a lady when we had the prayer group many, many years ago. And we had talked about Hebrews chapter 1, verses 7 and 14, that the angels of the Lord are ministering spirits. So we had one lady that said, I'm going to the dentist. So would you all pray that God's angels will come and be with me so that I won't have any pain? So the whole group prayed and asked the Lord to send their angel with this person that's going to go to the dentist on whatever day it was. So I get a phone call from one of the saints, and the Lord said to me, watch the request. So the person is now having a real difficult day. And the lady says to me, Kim, something is wrong. This whole day has been so miserable, and I keep asking my angel to help me. And she says, it's not working. I said, well, it's at the dentist's office. Oh. I said, you told the Lord's angel to go with so-and-so to the dentist's office. Are they completed yet? Oh. Well, why can't I have an extra angel? I said, did you ask? If you don't ask, you don't. So if you send your angel on a commission, he's going to get what? Out there to do the job. Until the job is done, then he will come back for the next instructions. Oh, this can't really be happening to me. I didn't think this was the way it works. I said, well, your word was given. You prayed. You asked God to do something. And you sent your angel. Oh, I didn't realize I was sending my angel. I said, well, the scripture says he's looking to Papa. You gave him a commission. He's going to obey. Watch your words. Watch how you pray. So, verse 12. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, He is happier about the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. And in the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. I think that's self-explanatory. I want to go to verse 19. I'm sorry, 15. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you and you have won your brother over, but if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything that you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with you, or with them. This particular chapter and these three, four verses, okay, are what the foundations were for the prayer line back in 1985. I can't tell you how many times that I repeated this promises on the phone and in council. Because again, people were unable or would not be capable of functioning in a godly manner without these basics, you're in trouble. Without these foundations and truth to set you free, you're going to continue hurting. Not just you, but the person who's in that box hurting. And like the dog, maybe they need a tranquilizer. That tranquilizer is going to be given to you so that you can give them grace and a way up out of the darkness. Because whenever you have a conflict of interest, and they're going to happen, you're not always going to see the same thing that your brother or sister sees. You're going to see it from your own perspective. You're going to see it from your own area of pain. And when you've had enough pain, sometimes you want to shut everything out. And you want to shut everybody else out.
Sure.
Amen? Amen? Yeah. Well, what is that? That's the trick of the enemy. Okay? The Bait of Satan was an awesome book that was written back in the early 90s. And by John Bevere. And that book was such a help to us at the prayer and intercession people. Because again, it dealt with injuries. It dealt with people who hurt each other. Well, why are they hurting each other? A lack of wisdom? Or sometimes a lack of knowledge of the principles that are given here. If you have an issue with a brother, deal with it. Ask God to give you the grace. Ask God for help with your angelic assistance, along with brothers and sisters that may understand where you're coming from. And when they understand where you're coming from, you're not going to be staying in the painful place that you've been in. Freedom. Yeah. I had a lady in my life, a very precious lady. I would say this is back in 1986. And she had been totally bedridden for 3.5 years, not been able to get out of bed. Had a bed from, you know, like a doc, you know, hospital bed. she had to function with a little tiny commode next to her bed. Food was not something she could handle. Somebody had to make sure that she had food. And she was a very smart woman. She had two children. And she got a hold of our telephone number. I don't know how she did, but she did. And I ended up dealing with her for a period of approximately 7 or 8 months. Every day, 5 days a week, sometimes weekends. Some sessions were as much as an hour or more with the Word, just literally pouring in the truth. And learned that she was extremely angry at her husband. And the anger and the resentment and the bitterness was killing her. So we use these scriptures. And she says to me, "Kim, I'll never be able to do this." I said, "Oh, yes, you will. Because God will give you the grace. Not me that's going to give you the grace. God's going to give you the grace to forgive him. He may not even know he's guilty." Well, how can that be? He's smarter than me, but yet he's dumber than me. And it went on and on and on and, you know, tit for tat. So I finally got angry and I said, "Look, do you want to walk?" She says, "Of course I want to walk." I said, "You'll never come out of that bed until you decide to forgive him and then forgive yourself." "Well, how are we going to do that?" I said, "Well, I'll give you the guidelines, and then you'll have to do it on your own." So obviously, I took her through a prayer based on these scriptures exactly. And believe it or not, at the end of 7 months, she walked for the first time. She had an extremely rare disease that only a doctor down in the Carolinas was able to help her. So then we had to deal with the disease. It was an allergy. And the allergy was against all kinds of perfumes. Okay? All kinds of, any kind of an odor would literally throw her body into a tailspin. So, I can't tell you how many more months that took, because I don't remember. But one Friday night, she was sitting at Grace Church of Christ when I came out of the intercessor's room. And she had somebody point me out because she never met me. She only met it on the phone. Weeping like a child, asking me to forgive her for being so stubborn. I said, "Well, you know, I'm very happy that you're here." And I said, I know that it's God's word that has actually taken you not only out of the bed, but out of this dilemma. So she's got a bottle of perfume in front of me. And she says, "Guess what? Look." And she sprayed the perfume. And both of us are bawling our eyes out because there was no reaction. Fast forward 3 years. She walked into my office and told me off. Because I was a man. And I could kiss her butt, etc., etc. I said, "I forgive you. I set you free. You go in peace." But it didn't go in. Roughly 4 months later, she was in her coffin. Do you hear me? Mm-hmm. You do not come against the person that is your issue, publicly or privately. You go to the Lord if you have an issue. You get educated on why you're so angry. And let the Word set you free. Mm-hmm. That woman would probably be still alive today because she was roughly my age. But she went home a lot earlier than she should have been. All I can tell you is this. This word sets captives free. Amen. That's my message to all of you. This word sets captives free. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and put your right hand over your heart. Say, Holy Spirit, I need grace.
Holy Spirit, I need grace.
I can't do things your way.
I can't do things your way.
On my own.
And
I'm knowing
that I can change
this.
Whatever
it is that I have in my heart.
Against family members.
Against ancestors.
Against
anybody in my past.
I want to deal with it.
And if I need to forgive them,
then
by choice I will.
And by
your grace I will.
Those
who've offended
me
may not be aware that they've
offended me,
but my heart
may
still carry the scars.
And
if they're there,
I want it
healed.
I don't
want to be in pain.
I don't
want to be in anger.
I don't
want to be in bitterness
or resentment
against
anyone,
because
I know
that there's a demonic
spirit,
a
twisting
demonic spirit
that
hates my guts,
and
he wants me to
be divided
from
every person
that has a plan
of grace
for
my future.
Because
this is the body of Christ.
And
this body will
function with love.
Jesus
gave us a
commandment.
Love one another.
As
I have loved you.
And
I'm not going to want
freedom.
According to my pride.
I have to
humble myself.
And
be like a
child.
And
do it right.
With God's grace, I can
do it.
With his love,
I can do it.
And
with his compassion,
healing
will happen to my
heart.
In
Jesus'
name,
I pray.
Yes.
Jim, there was one more piece that I left out in the process with Ellie, who I called Anna.
Uh-huh.
I had to confront Anna.
Wait a minute.
Oh.
You're back online.
In my confront, as I was dealing with the thing with Ellie, I had to confront Anna.
Yes.
Anna does have a controlling spirit. So I called her up and I explained what I was going to do, and she began to argue with me that she knew how to do it. And she explained to me what she was going to do, and I said,